Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to look into your word, and we ask, Lord, that you would help us to apply it to our hearts in the way we would need. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take a look at John chapter 1, starting in John chapter 10, starting in verse 11. John chapter 10, starting in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, so when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Now let's look at verse 27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And I and the Father are one. Again, his Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him. Now, the reality is that you are trying to find a good shepherd. Even if you're not religious, you don't consider yourself religious, you're still trying to find a good shepherd. You're trying to find someone that you can trust. You're trying to find someone you can count on. And Jesus, in this passage, says, here I am. What I provide for you is that which I know deep down you most need. Someone you can count on. Someone you can trust. Here I am. Now, last week we began a series to the seven I am statements that Jesus makes in the Gospel of John. I am the bread of life. I am the true vine. I am the light of the world, and so on. And in every instance when Jesus lists off one of these statements, he's telling us something about himself, but he's also telling us something about us, about what we need from him. Now, if that's true, then when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, what is he saying about us, and what is he saying about himself? Well, what he's saying about us is we are in utter dependence upon him. The image of a sheep is the image of a being that is in utter dependence on somebody else for its well-being. Now, even if you don't know much about sheep, the image of one is of absolute dependence upon someone else. There is such a thing as a wild cat or a wild dog or a wild horse, but there isn't really something to the image of a wild sheep, or not for long anyway. A sheep out in the wild is really just nature's snack. That's really the way you would understand it. They don't have a good sense of direction. They get restless with the immediate environment, even if it's good for them, and they wander away. There's nothing about the provision of a sheep that would indicate that it's good at fending off an attack. It doesn't have talons. It doesn't have claws. It doesn't have fangs. It doesn't have points on its spine like some other animals would. Unlike some other animals that are defenseless, a sheep can't run away quickly, not with its weight, not with all the weight of its wool on its back. A sheep doesn't even have a way of warning predators. So a cat might arch its back and hiss. A rattlesnake might rattle. A dog might bark. All a sheep can do is baa. And that's not going to send a bear running away. And that's one reason why, if you need protection for your property, no one sells guard sheep. Nobody does. Now, this is the image that Jesus wants us to have of ourselves. If he said, I am the good shepherd, I look upon myself as a shepherd, he's telling us, he looks upon us as his sheep. And that's an image of utter and absolute dependence upon someone else. Now, if we're sheep, we need to acknowledge this. And we need to acknowledge our dependence on Jesus in at least three ways. I want you to write these down in your notes. First of all, comprehensively. Comprehensively. You can't say, Jesus, I want you to help me in this area, but I don't need your help in this area. Jesus, I want you to bless my family and help me to be a real good leader for my family, but you can't touch my finances and what I decide about my finances. Lord, I really want you to help me to be successful in my work, but you can't tell me who to date. We have to understand that there is this comprehensive quality about our dependence on Jesus as our shepherd. When you pray the Lord's Prayer, you come to that line, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, who is doing God's will in heaven? Angels are, and they are doing God's will comprehensively. There's no angel that says, "Well, I'm doing pretty well in these five areas, so maybe God will give me a pass for neglecting some of these other areas over here." Angels do God's will comprehensively. And so when you pray that line in the Lord's Prayer, "Lord, help me to do your will here on this earth like it's being done in heaven," what we are praying is, "God, will you help me to do your will as comprehensively in every area of life, just as the angels do in heaven?" We need to recognize that. There's another way that we need to show our dependence on God, not only comprehensively, but continually. Would you write that word down? Continually. We have to acknowledge our dependence on Jesus, not only in everything, but in every moment of life as well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul said that he discovered Christ's power was made perfect in his weakness. And so he said, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Now, isn't that the irony of ironies? So many times we go through life and we think that we are strong because we're independent persons. We're strong because we don't feel like we need anybody else. And oftentimes what ends up happening is we get frustrated when we find out that we can't do everything we thought we were capable of doing. And yet Paul says, when we acknowledge our weakness, when we acknowledge our dependence, our utter dependence on Jesus, it's amazing how many things can get done in our life. So we need to recognize our dependence on God continually. We need to recognize God's dependence, or our dependence on God comprehensively. And then there's a third word, cheerfully. We need to recognize our dependence on God cheerfully. What I mean by that is we need to maintain this joyful confidence that when God tells us to go a certain direction, when Jesus tells us to rely on Him in a certain way, that He means our well-being. You know, sometimes we can be suspicious of what Jesus intends for us. Even as believers, we can be suspicious of what Jesus intends for us. There was a minister who was once a professional shepherd, and he wrote this about sheep. "Sheep proverbially follow one another and lose their direction continually in a way that cats and dogs do not. But even when sheep are found, they are never happy to be found. It is extremely difficult to round up a lost sheep and bring it home unless you have a dog to scare it. The lost sheep rushes to and fro so that even when you find it, you must seize it, cast it down, tie its four legs together, put its hind legs together, put it over your shoulder and carry it home struggling." Now, can you get that picture in your mind? A sheep is afraid of being loved even when it is being loved. It is afraid of being saved even when it's in the process of being made safe. And if that doesn't describe you and me to a T, I don't know what does. There's so many times throughout our life, even those of us who are believers, when Jesus comes in and rescues us from our own stupidity, we resist it, don't we? But to depend upon Jesus as His sheep means that we are going to be cheerful about His rescuing process. Not only is first-time rescue process, in other words, bringing us into the life of salvation, but His ongoing rescue process, where He rescues us out of our own stupidity and brings us into a greater dependence upon Him and a greater acknowledgement of His lordship. This past week, I was writing an article about Jacob, a biblical illustrator. Magazine, Lifeway's supplementary material for Sunday school teachers, had asked me to write this article about Jacob. And so I was wrapping it up this past week. At the same time, I was preparing this message, and I ran across this interesting line, this interesting statement from Jacob that I had never seen before in my Bible reading. In Genesis chapter 48, verse 15, Jacob was giving testimony to his sons about what God meant to his life. And he used this phrase in Genesis 48:15, "God has been my shepherd all my life to this day." Now, if you know anything about Jacob's life, you know he didn't always think in those terms. When he was a young man, he had this assumption that it was entirely up to him if he was going to get anywhere in life. If he was going to be successful, it was on his shoulders to accomplish it. Even if it meant deceiving somebody else, one-upping somebody else, outwitting somebody else, who else was going to take care of him, he felt, unless he did it himself. But then, in his senior adult years, he uses this phrase, God has been my shepherd all the days of my life. Somewhere along the way, he came to realize that God was guiding him, God was directing him, God was rescuing him, even from himself sometimes. And he was giving testimony of this in his old age. It would be good for every one of us in here, even before we get to our senior adult years, to acknowledge that God is our shepherd and that we are to depend upon him continually, we're to depend on him comprehensively, we're to depend on him cheerfully. So when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he was saying something about us. He was saying that we are sheep. We need to see ourselves as his sheep and depend on him in that way. But then Jesus says something about himself in this phrase. When he says, I am the good shepherd, he says something about who he is to us. And I want you to write down three more words on your notes. First of all, he is our companion. When Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, what he was saying was, I know you intimately. I am your companion. Jesus said in verse 14, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. In verse 27, he said, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Jesus isn't distant. He is not aloof. He is not the man upstairs, as we sometimes refer to him, only remotely aware of what we're going through. He is our companion. Actually, even that word is not an adequate enough word to talk about how Jesus is describing himself here. Because some of us, we have companions or we have friends, and they know certain things about our lives, but not everything about our life. We have a need to be loved, and so we don't reveal everything about who we are to somebody else because we are afraid that if they know us as we really are, that they won't love us anymore. Jesus knows us as we really are, and yet he loves us all the more for it. He knows our hopes. He knows our dreams. But he also knows our fears, and he knows our doubts. He knows when our worship is insincere, when we're in here lifting up these songs of praise. When we make a promise to him, he knows ahead of time whether or not we're going to keep it. God knows us intimately. Even so, he loves us all the more. In Psalm 139, King David opens up this psalm about God's knowingness by saying, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Now, when he used that word wonderful, he didn't mean, that's great, that's fabulous. What he meant was, I am stunned by this, and I'm a little bit uncomfortable by this. That we know that because as you continue to read Psalm 139, he says, Lord, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And then he starts listing off these ways. If I go up to the heavens, no, you're already there. If I dig myself down into the depths, no, you're already there. If I take a jet and go to the other side of the sea, you'll already be there saying, what took you so long? And what you see in Psalm 139 is David thinking, I'm a little bit uncomfortable with how closely God knows me. Why are we uncomfortable with that? Once again, it's because we want people to love us, and we're afraid people will not love us if they know us as we really are. God knows us as we really are, and yet he loves us. Just as that line from that old Gaither song goes, I am loved, I am loved, I can risk loving you, because the one who knows me best loves me most. That's a great truth. And we are told this when Jesus says, I am your shepherd, I know you, and you know me. In fact, we know how much he loves us by the lengths he was willing to go to be our rescuer. Now, that's the second word I want you to write down, rescuer. When Jesus said, I am your shepherd, he was saying, I am your rescuer. Take a look at verse 11. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And just to reiterate that the cross that he would soon endure would be a cross he would willingly endure. He says in verse 18, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." Now, any shepherd knew that it was important to risk for the sheep. King David, even when he was just coming back or coming from the fields as a shepherd boy to visit his brothers on the front lines. You remember the story of David and Goliath. And he sees Goliath out there and he's astounded that nobody has gone after Goliath, who's making these irreverent boasts against God and God's army. And so he says, "Let me go ahead and fight him." And King Saul at the time refused. Saul said, 1 Samuel 17, verse 33, "You're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth." So shepherds knew the danger, the risk of injury, the possibility even of death as they were protecting the sheep. Jesus didn't just say, though, "I'm willing to risk myself for the sheep." He said, "I lay down my life for the sheep." This is one instance in multiple instances in the New Testament where Jesus was preparing his disciples for the cross even before he went to the cross. They couldn't imagine that if he was the Messiah, that he would die, especially he would die in such an ignoble way against the Romans he was supposed to overwhelm. And so Jesus prepared them over and over again for his death. And in this instance, he was doing it as well. He was saying, "I'm going to go to the cross." And what that means is, "I am your shepherd. I'm laying down my life for you. I am substituting myself for the punishment and the death that you deserved for your sins so that you might live with me forever." So when Jesus said, "I'm your shepherd," he was saying, "I'm your companion. I know you." And then he was also saying, "I'm your rescuer. As much as I know about you, I still want you with me, and I'm going to rescue you." And then there's a third thing that this image should call to mind. I am your God. Jesus was saying, "I am your companion, I'm your rescuer, and third, I am your God." Now some of you might say, how do you get a claim like that, a claim to divinity, out of this statement that Jesus said he was our shepherd? Well, over and over again in the Hebrew Bible, in the Old Testament, we see the claim from God himself and from his followers that he is our shepherd. So we see in Genesis 49, verse 24, God is called the shepherd, the rock of Israel. In Psalm 80, verse 1, King David said, "Hear us, shepherd of Israel, you who led Joseph like a flock." And of course, there's the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." But I think really what Jesus was thinking about, probably all those passages, but especially the passage in Ezekiel 34. In Ezekiel 34, we have this statement from God that he is going to come down and do the shepherding himself, since he found no one adequate or worthy to do it on his behalf. And so we find in Ezekiel 34, verse 11, "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries. I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel and the ravines and all the settlements of the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice." And then in verse 23 he says, "I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them." He will tend them and be their shepherd. Do you notice? Over and over and over again in this passage, God is saying, "I can't find anybody adequate to do this work for me, so I'm going to come down and do it myself." And then he says right at the end of this passage, "I will send my Messiah who will do this work on my behalf." So in this passage, this messianic passage in the Old Testament, we have this imagery of God saying, "I've got to roll up my sleeves and come down there and do this work myself through my Messiah." The work of God and the work of the Messiah were regarded as one and the same thing. Now, this may not be so obvious to us today when we hear Jesus, when we read in the Bible and Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. But Jesus' enemies knew exactly what he was talking about. They were familiar with this passage, Ezekiel 34, as well as many others. Now, when you have been familiar with this passage and you are in anticipation of the coming Messiah because you are familiar with this passage, and then Jesus comes along and says, I am that good shepherd. Don't you know that's exactly, they knew exactly what he was trying to say. In fact, in John chapter 10, they were offended at what he was trying to say. And so he goes on to say in this claim about being the shepherd for the sheep, he says, I and the Father are one. And how did the public reading of the scripture end? The Jewish opponents of him picked up stones to hurl at him. In other words, they were going to execute him because in their mind he had committed blasphemy by equating himself with the Lord God. But Jesus knew exactly what Ezekiel 34 was trying to say. God himself was going to come down to this earth and roll up his sleeves and take care of this work of shepherding us himself through the work of his Messiah. And Jesus comes on the scene and says, I am that person. Here I am. Put your faith and your trust in me. So what do we learn in this image about Jesus? And what do we learn in this image about us? We learn about us that if he is our shepherd, we are his sheep. And we have got to depend on him continuously. We've got to depend on him comprehensively. And we've got to depend on him cheerfully, joyfully. But we learn something about Jesus as well. He is our companion. He knows us to the depths and yet loves us all the same. He is our rescuer that has come to rescue us from ourselves, from our sin, from the punishment we deserve because of our sin. He is our God who has come to this earth to be our shepherd here, as was promised in the Old Testament. Now, all of this is good news for so many of us in this room because so many of us in this room are already believers. And it's good to be reminded of these truths that we have known all our lives. And yet we can't end a study of this passage without looking once again at verse 16, where Jesus says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. Now, depending on who you are and where you are in your walk with Christ, that word is Jesus' responsibility given to you, Jesus' hope provided for you, or Jesus' invitation extended to you. For some of us in here, it is Jesus' responsibility given to us by Jesus. Jesus said, I have other sheep, and I am going to speak to them, and they are going to hear my voice and going to respond to me. Those of us in here who are believers, we know that we have the responsibility to either go as missionaries or send and support missionaries in other settings who will, through them, Jesus will speak his word, and those who are not yet believers will hear his voice and respond to him and come into the flock of God. And so we need to realize that if we've become casual, if we become careless about praying for missionaries, supporting missionaries, financially supporting missionaries, we need to make sure and do it. Because verse 16 is Jesus' extension of responsibility to us. Some of us even need to respond and go as missionaries, surrendering to the mission call that God has placed upon our heart, taking up our responsibility to go to the other sheep and extend the call to them. But as we look at verse 16, it's not only a word of responsibility from Jesus to us. For some of us, it is a word of hope from Jesus to us. Because some of us know those other sheep keenly. They are persons within our own family or friendship circles who haven't opened up their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what Jesus is saying to us in John chapter 10, verse 16 is, those are my other sheep too. And I'm at work in their lives. I'm calling them to myself. It is not your responsibility exclusively. I will work through you, parents. I will work through you, fellow friends. I will work through you, spouse. But I will be doing that work myself because I'm the one that is going to be bringing them to myself. And what a great comfort that is as we lift up a word of prayer on their behalf, as we extend a word of witness to them. We know this is the work that God is doing. He might be working through us. He might be working through other people. But we can be confident because of verse 16 that God is on the job and he's doing what he will do. But verse 16 is also a word of invitation for some of us in here. You are those other sheep, perhaps, that Jesus has been referring to here. You haven't opened up your heart to Jesus yet, but today you can do so. How do you do it? One way you do it is by talking to the shepherd. And then after that, by talking to a shepherd. The first thing you need to do is talk to the shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, opening up your heart to him and asking him to come into your life as your Savior and Lord. And then after that, you need to talk to a shepherd. You know what the word pastor means? It comes from the Greek word poimen. It means shepherd. And so I have a responsibility under the shepherding responsibility of Jesus to guide, to direct, to encourage. And after you've talked to the good shepherd and opened up your heart to him, talk to a shepherd, maybe me, and let me talk with you about what the next step needs to be in your own life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let me give you some guidance on how to talk to the good shepherd. If you need to open up your heart to the Lord Jesus, if you are among the other sheep, you sense that as we've looked at verse 16 today, you are among the other sheep that need to become part of his flock. And you hear his voice today through this music and through the message. And you want to open up your heart to him. Would you pray this prayer to him? Jesus, come into my life and be my Savior and my Lord. I thank you for dying on the cross to take away my sin. Help me to understand more about that and more about you. But for now, in the time being, I step across the line of faith and I come in to trust in you. And I ask that you would come into my life and be my shepherd, my companion, my rescuer, my God. Be my shepherd. With the heads bowed in prayer and eyes closed, those of us who are believers, we pray too. We pray that we would gain a greater appreciation for how dependent we are on Jesus, like a sheep is to a shepherd. And that we would take up the responsibility of getting this message out to the other sheep that Jesus talked about. And that we would gain hope as parents, as marriage partners, as friends. We would gain hope that there are those that we love who are among the other sheep that Jesus is at work on as well. And we pray, Lord God, that you would work in their lives, that you would work in a sovereign, lordship kind of way in their lives so that they would hear your voice and respond to you and become believers as well. Now, Lord, we lift all this up to you in Jesus' name. Amen.